5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. There's a balance I strive for in booking guests on this show. I go for the big names, the Lee Steinbergs, the Brian Killingsworth, the Jennifer Keens. These are the executives, the true thought leaders in the industry who have lived it all, hired hundreds of people, and set the stage for what the sports industry is. But I also like to bring on guests new or newer to the industry. Dasmond Evans, Kelsey Smith, Evan Feinstein, Betsy Lauritsen, because there is a relatability to their story. They are you, people recently in the industry or fighting their way to get in. They're also the people setting the stage for what the industry will be in the future. And they just recently got hired, so they have experience to share. Their challenges, their pitfalls, their successes may be exactly what you are dealing with right now, and that is so important to talk about. Here's the amazing part. I never know how any guest will connect with all of you. I guess, I speculate, but I never really know until I publish the episode how much you guys connect with them. It turns out when I look through the data, you are just as interested in hearing from Kelsey Smith as you are Lee Steinberg. And so while I'll always strive for guests like Theo Epstein, I'm kind of proud that you all learn and engage just as much with your near peers. Today's guest, Christina Wetzeltoft, has been in the industry for a few years now. She's in the midst of her second season with the Indiana Pacers as part of their community relations team. She worked previously with the San Diego Padres in fan engagement and with the Indianapolis Indians in community relations. She's a real up-and-comer in the industry, and there's a lot to learn during this interview. One of my favorite parts of our conversation is when Christina really explains her process of being hired by the Pacers. Not only how she approached the application process and the networking and outreach process, but then what the Pacers expected of her, what they asked, what they put her through. I found it fascinating. And if you're out there looking for jobs in sports right now, this is the kind of information you need to know. What are the teams? What are the orgs? What are these movers and shakers in the industry want and expect during the interview process? You're going to get it firsthand from Christina right during this interview. We actually taped this conversation on Pacers opening night, a crazy night that Christina was so kind to carve out some time to chat with all of us. So please enjoy it. Here's Christina Wetzeltoft. Hi, Christina. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking a little bit of time. You have opening night tonight with the Indiana Pacers, and you're taking time to talk to all of us about your career, which is really cool, and I appreciate your time.
Of course. It's a busy time, but exciting time around here, so happy to be here.
Yeah, I bet. So I love the various origination stories I learned from people on this show, you know, how people got started, how they got into the industry, and I think you have a pretty interesting story, too. You graduated from college with a degree in communications from UC San Diego, but you started out in the fashion industry, working in PR for Victor Luna Designs, and I will admit, I'm totally comfortable acknowledging that I remember Victor Luna from Project Runway, because my wife watches it all the time. Anyway, how did you get from that start in the fashion industry to then transitioning to a job and a career in sports?
Yeah, well, going to college, it was one of those, I knew where I wanted to go to school, but I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to study. And once I was at UC San Diego, I really decided communications was kind of the right path for me. And then basically went through that. Social media was starting to pick up, and I thought, you know, I love Los Angeles. I wanted to move back. What's a great industry to be in? And I thought, wow, maybe fashion. So I moved home after college, was working as a server, kind of just searching opportunities. And I followed Victor on Twitter for, you know, his personality and everything from Project Runway. And he had posted that he was looking for somebody to kind of help him with his PR and kind of marketing, just small projects here and there. And I thought, you know, why not? That sounds like a great opportunity. So yeah. It all happened through Twitter, go figure, but ended up applying and helping him do a couple collaborations. I'm going to El Paso Fashion Week in Palm Springs, California. But after doing that, I kind of realized fashion wasn't the right direction for me. So then I kind of explored different opportunities and decided I liked the entertainment part of it, which is what drew me to sports.
So yeah, after the fashion move, you joined the San Diego Padres as a fan experience representative. After that, you decided to go back and get your master's. Was this out of a frustration with your career growth? Like, I need something to kickstart this whole process? Or was getting your master's part of your strategy all along?
Getting my master's definitely was not part of my strategy all along. I knew once I decided I wanted to work in sports, I knew it was a hustle. And I saw this position with the Padres, already having lived in San Diego and being comfortable. I thought, well, this is a no-brainer. Definitely apply for this position. And ended up getting that, moving back to San Diego. And once I was there, that's really where I honed in on community relations and wanting to do more than just the marketing side, I guess, of sports, but being in a position that I was able to give back to the community in which I was working. So once I was with the Padres, I kind of sat there and thought, you know, what is something that makes me stand out? And I thought, nothing. I don't have the experience of all these other people. I have, you know, this job with the Padres, but I need something that when I go to a potential employer, they go, wow, that, you know, that's awesome. And so I explored a couple different programs and ended up choosing the San Diego State Sports MBA program.
What a smart choice to realize that you needed to differentiate yourself. So now let's go through this a little bit. How did getting your master's change things for you? Did it help you get that extra career focus? Did you feel like it gave you that extra little leg up? What did it mean to you to get your master's and have that extra level of education?
It did. I mean, it helped. It definitely helped in my career focus. I mean, I knew I wanted to do CR, but I also was able to experience so many different, I guess you could almost say departments. So like accounting, finance, obviously we took marketing classes. So things that I was not only already interested in, but I learned a lot about other aspects as well. So that was honestly really nice. And I really enjoyed that, but also going back to school really just kind of gave me experience that I needed. So I basically took every and any volunteer opportunity that came our way. So we worked the Ironman Super Steel Triathlons. Torrey Pines is a big golf course out there. And part of the sports MBA is working the tournament that comes out there in January and just being a part of, you know, anything and everything that came our way. It was also awesome because the year I was getting my master's and still working for the San Diego Padres was the year that the MLB All-Star Game was in San Diego. So not only did I get to see that from a sports MBA side of the business side of it, but I also got to see the activation side. I got to see the inner workings of the front office. So that was also a really cool opportunity.
I would imagine just getting that extra layer of experience gave you more confidence as well. Like once you've been in the, you know, at the Ironman events and at Torrey Pines, it's like, okay, I'm comfortable in these environments now. And that extra level of comfort you can bring to whatever your next employer may be. Did you feel like you gained confidence with all those extra little pieces of experience?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you definitely have to be open in going into things that you are uncomfortable with. So, you know, maybe you're working an event and you're like, I don't really feel comfortable working on the volunteer side, but putting yourself out there and gaining that experience, you can then take that to a future employer and say, you know, not only was I uncomfortable at first, but I became comfortable and I mastered that skill of which now I can bring to your organization.
Great point. So last year, September of 2017, you got hired by the Indiana Pacers as a community relations coordinator. Take us through the interview process. I'm sure that this was a really competitive role. Lots of people wanted a job like this. What kind of things were expected of you? What were some of the challenging things you were asked? What was that process like of getting hired?
Yeah, so I honestly can't believe it's already been a year. And honestly, I think in the interview process and, you know, applying for job process, everything honestly just comes as a whirlwind. It's, you know, fast. Obviously, everybody is just trying to put their best foot out there. But I applied through an online program. I then sent emails to the people I was applying with and said, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm applying for this position and I'm really excited about it. This is something I care about. I'm interested in. I want to be a part of your organization, especially working in basketball in a state where basketball is king. People in Indiana love basketball. And I knew that and I honed in on that when I was applying because I knew it was something specific to Indiana. We receive letters all the time. Hey, I'm a really big fan of your team. I love watching your team play. Can you send me something? And just taking maybe 5 minutes to find something that you can personally connect with will make that so much more attractive for whether it's an employer, somebody you're writing a letter to, really anything, just because there's that personal connection and a reasoning behind why you're doing what you're doing. So after that, like you said, a little bit of a competitive process, answered some questions, some email questions, and then I got an email saying, you know, congratulations, you moved on. Can you please submit an elevator pitch? And you know, everybody talks about elevator pitches. They talk about it in grad school. And I was always one of those people, oh, I'm so awkward. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to truly market myself. But I really had to sit down and, you know, think, what am I going to say? How am I going to present myself? You know, it was the first one I had really ever made to send to an employer. So sat down, did that. And then from there came in for an in-person interview, which was fun but nerve-wracking, as all interviews are. And from there was offered the position. And being from California, it was a hard decision. Obviously, I love California and all my family is back there. But I knew this was a really great opportunity that I couldn't pass up. This is a position they haven't had in about 15 years. So it was nice to kind of be able to come in and get the ball rolling on some things that they've been wanting to do. They just needed another person to get those done.
Everybody listening should go back and rewind and listen to Christina's answer again, because you need to understand this point. She customized her communication with the Pacers when she wanted this job. I think that is so important that you're not just sending the same materials and expecting magic to happen. You took that extra effort to understand that how important basketball is in the area and how the different facets of the Pacers and their organization. And that's what made you stand out. And I think that's something you should be really proud of and everyone should really listen to. For you personally, why community relations? Why did this become your focus?
Well, I knew I've always loved giving back to communities, whether it's through, you know, a breast cancer walk, an Alzheimer's walk, a fundraiser, anything like that. And so when I was kind of deciding what my next direction was after working in fashion, I really decided that this whole giving back aspect was huge to me. I loved it. I loved, you know, seeing the smiles on people's faces. I loved like the warm-heartedness feeling. So I took that and I said, well, okay, well, what industry? And I was like, well, I don't know. And, you know, thought, okay, sports, because here in America, we idolize athletes. They have the power to put their message out there and gain attention like no others. So I was like, wow, that seems to work really well. And I know a lot of teams, you know, some people call it community relations, some people call it social responsibility. But I knew I wanted to take my love for giving back and the power that athletes have to have their message be heard just because of who they are and put those two together to do better for a community.
That's fantastic. I think what's also interesting is you probably get to see the athletes in a different light than just about anybody else. I mean, we all see them through the lens of the media where they're guarded and they're feeling, you know, protected. They only want to say certain things, but you get to see them out in the community just being normal people. And a lot of them are kids. They're young, you know, and just being out there and interacting. How interesting is that for you to be able to see the athletes in almost a completely different light than everybody else does?
It's awesome. Yesterday, the Pacers the Indianapolis Library has a program of which athletes read over the phone to kids. So ours is called a Pacer. And yesterday, I had the opportunity to sit down with our in-house video guys and Victor Oladipo, and he read his Call a Pacer story. This year we're doing a space theme, and the book was hilarious. And he's reading it, cracking up, we're laughing. And it's just really nice to see them in a different element. When they go on that court, they're in game mode, and they're ready to play. They're there to do their job. They're there to put on a good show and have a good time and ultimately get the win. But seeing them on the outside and seeing them either, whether it's directly giving back to the community and like a community service day, or through this like Call a Pacer program, is just, it's just awesome. And I want everybody knows, everybody to know that, these athletes are just great guys and women, and they all, you know, want to make a difference, I think.
I think it's a great thing for us all to remember. Let's talk about your specific role. You're the community relations coordinator. What does your day-to-day look like, and what are your major responsibilities? How would you quantify your major role and responsibilities?
Yeah, I think in sports, especially in interview processes, the number one question is, you know, what does your day-to-day look like? And the really easy response is, well, no day is the same.
Right.
And while I completely agree with that, not one of my days looks similar. At the same time, obviously, we do have responsibilities that I handle on a day-to-day basis, a weekly basis, things like that. So what I mainly handle are all our in-kind donation requests. And that's through all of Pacer Sports and Entertainment on both the Pacer side as well as the Fever side. So we use a program called Donation X, which I've used at various jobs. So if you haven't learned that program yet, I would suggest it. A lot of teams do use it. And then I also handle our Pacers Pals program as well as the Fever Community Ticket Fund. Basically, these are tickets that Pacer Sports and Entertainment has donated back to our program, of which we then donate to the community. So we're bringing out about 30-ish groups for tonight's game, of which a lot of young kids come. They've never been to a Pacers basketball game before, so this is a great experience for them. And I really love being part of that and kind of creating this memorable experience for them. And then I also handle all of our PR social. So Pacers Cares has a Twitter, a Facebook, and an Instagram. So we post things, video recaps of what we've done, any league initiatives that are going on, anything really PR related. I make sure that, you know, we're branding ourselves in the community because, I mean, everybody knows we're out there, but at the same time, this is a great way to kind of connect with fans who maybe used to live in Indiana, but have moved away. They still want to know what's going on in the community. Or they just have a favorite player and they want to say, oh, wow, I can't believe, you know, last year Corey Joseph hosted a million meal movement. That's so awesome. So we love being able to share all that stuff. And then a new program, which we're bringing to Bankers Life Field House, is a 50-50 raffle through our foundation. So we haven't officially launched yet, but I've really been on the back end of getting that all done, working with the Indiana Gaming Commission, something completely new to me, something, you know, testing, very uncomfortable, but at the same time, it's been such a learning experience that it's been nothing but great.
Do you have a certain favorite part of the job? I mean, it sounds like there's some certain administrative type task and then some creative type tasks on the social media side, but then there's also the actual events taking place. Do you have a certain part of the job that you like the most?
Yeah, this may sound a little bit silly, but we have a high five club and a teddy bear exchange before each of our games. And I love being able to pull kids from the crowd and say, hey, do you want to do something really cool tonight? Do you want to meet a player? And just seeing the excitement on their face makes everything worth it. I know it's not a kind of grandiose thing, but just being able to give a little kid an experience like that, that they'll remember. They may not remember me, but they'll remember the experience. They'll remember. I always try to floss with the kids on the court. I'm not a good flosser. All the younger ones are. But just being able to have a good time and be on, you know, the main Indiana Pacers court is a once in a lifetime experience. So I love that.
I can understand why you'd love that. And my daughter is an excellent flosser, so I'm sure she could give you some tips. If you need it. So,
love it.
Yeah. The Pacers Community Relations team, like you guys on your website, you focus on education, service, and health. How do you feel your team impacts the local community in those realms? You've talked about a lot of those programs, but how do you really focus in on those kind of pillars?
Yeah, so we have these three pillars as basically buckets of which we dump or put each of our kind of smaller programs into. So for example, a big program under our education initiative is our reading timeouts. We basically will travel to about 40 to 60 schools starting in January and host reading timeouts with our all-star reading team. So that's made up with people from our community. We sometimes get players to come. We have our Indiana Pacemates. We just have a great group of people who really come out and emphasize the importance of reading to these young kids. So that's something that I really like, and I think that definitely makes a difference in the community and just trying to, you know, get that overall message. Oh, hey, the Pacers say reading's cool, so reading must be cool. Same thing kind of with our health initiatives with Junior Pacers clinics and our fit camps, showing that exercise is important and just trying to make sure kids stay healthy, that they eat healthy, that, you know, chicken McNuggets don't count as a meal. Yes,
good point.
You can have them once in a while, but you need to make sure you're eating vegetables, you're eating fruit. I work with Darnell, Dr. Dunk Hillman, who is the original slam dunk champion, and his hands are massive, and his favorite thing is to go up to little kids, put their palm to palm, and he says, "You need to drink more milk." And they
That's
go
great.
Home saying, "I need to drink more milk." And so I just think those small things make such a lasting impact.
Oh, it's so true. I had a CEO that had this quote about community relations that has always stuck with me. He referred to community relations as the soul of an organization. And it sounds like all the things you're saying, like you can almost hear the glow in your voice as you explain all these programs and how they're helping other people and how the impact you're able to make on somebody's life, which I think is really inspiring. But every job has challenges too. Every job has hard parts. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges you face putting on a great community event or just in your day-to-day? What are some of the challenges you face?
I think some of the challenges we face overall is, I don't know if visibility is the correct word, because obviously people know that we're out there and we're doing great things, but really kind of honing in and saying, you know, this is what we do, this is why we do it. Sometimes people are just like, oh, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example. We did a scavenger hunt to kick off opening weekend. Oh, that was in the community. That must be community relations. So kind of honing in on more of the social giving
right.
back aspect side of it. But also, I mean, there are so many deserving organizations in every state, every city. And so it's really hard trying to figure out which organizations to work with. You know, which organizations qualify to meet your programs. I mean, if we could travel to every single school and do a reading timeout, we could, but that's just honestly not possible with the amount of schools that there are. So just trying to, you know, really make sure that we give back to everybody in the state of Indiana, because we are Indiana's basketball team and not just in, you know, downtown Indianapolis and the surrounding areas, is definitely one of our challenges as well.
And that makes sense. You talked about when you got your master's that there was a well-rounded education. You learned accounting and marketing and all the other aspects of it. What would you say, as you've now been the community relations coordinator for a year, what would you say are the three biggest skills that you bring to the table each day, like that you kind of honed in your education that have made a really big difference in your career in community relations?
I definitely think, and I'm pretty sure you'll hear this anywhere you go, but being able to multitask, there's a lot of things going on at all times. Tonight we do have our Pacer Pals coming. We also have an Indiana hero. So that's somebody we honor who's done something great in the state of Indiana. And tonight it's actually Jason Seaman, who was the teacher at Noblesville West Middle School, who had a unfortunate incident in May of this year, but
right.
Just really being able to kind of, I guess, segment all of those, but get them all done at the same time. That's super important. I think communication is super important. I've worked in really small organizations where with Victor Luna, it was me, Victor, and sometimes one other person. I worked with the Indianapolis Indians where there was an intern class of about 14 of us and then a full-time staff of about 30 to 40. So a pretty small front office.
Right.
And then now with the Pacers, you know, there's a front office of 200 to 300 people. So being able to communicate not only within your own department, but within the organization, I think is also really important. That also goes into organization. Staying organized is so important. I can't stress it enough. I think that not only was that important in school and in growing up, but it also can be a harsh reality when, you know, you're not staying organized and all of a sudden, oh, where's that piece of paper? I can't find it. I need it now. It's definitely something that everybody should work on.
For sure. I still need that now. So as you look back over the last year and as you head into this year, do you have a certain event that sticks out in your memory for being particularly special that you were a part of?
Yeah. So actually last Friday, we hosted a Junior Pacers clinic with Special Olympics Indiana, and we host two clinics with Special Olympic athletes each year. And those clinics are some of the funnest days at the job. It can be a long day. You know, these clinics typically happen after work, so you're putting in an extra 4 to 5 hours after, you know, already a long day of work. But seeing the enthusiasm and the excitement on those kids' faces when they come into the clinic, they just bring the energy. They love it. They're there to play. Last Friday, we had rookie Alizé Johnson come in and help the kids on their ball handling skills. And they don't necessarily care that he's an Indiana Pacer. Yeah, they think it's cool. And they're like, this is awesome. But they're more like, oh, hey, this is another guy to play basketball with. Like, show me what you can do. Can you dribble the ball through your legs? Can you dunk? Can you, you know, they just want to have fun and practice their basketball skills. And they're there for a good time. And I will say sometimes they get a little bit more excited for the pizza than they do to play basketball. But the excitement that they bring is truly genuine, and I can't think of a better feeling.
That is awesome. What a great time to be in community relations and feel like you're making an impact in the whole community at large, but then just the interest of these kids. Like, you're setting the stage for them to take a new interest in life or to have something that really matters to them that they're never going to forget, and that has to feel really good.
Yeah, I mean, we hope with really any of our programs that we take, whether it's to schools or just out in the community at libraries, that kids really kind of attach to those and they associate the Pacers with reading as fun, or they associate the Pacers with exercise. And not only does that drive them to come to games, because obviously we love to have them there, but it drives them to have, you know, a better overall quality of life.
Christina, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show on opening night to talk a little bit more about your career in community relations. I know our audience is really going to gravitate towards all this information you've shared, and I just appreciate it so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Christina Wetzeltoft of the Indiana Pacers. What a great conversation. It's so exciting for me to learn from somebody at her phase of her career, because there's so much energy and enthusiasm and vision for what's out there and what can be done, that I get a lot of inspiration from that. Because, you know, we all get into our tendencies, we all get into our grooves, we all get into our normal pattern of things. And sometimes when you talk to somebody else, you just pick up something totally different and new. And I love that. I love that about this interview. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Christina, for being on the show. I look forward to talking to you guys all next week.